Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Hey, welcome back to our show live on MadisonTalks.com and also Facebook Live. We appreciate it. This on the anniversary of the invasion at Normandy, Omaha Beach, June 6, 1944. So, I mean, with math, 73 years, Mike? Mike Brockenfeld, our engineer. 73 years ago. You know, I interviewed a guy that was there at one time. He was a big-time hero. And I see the footage. I see him landing on those boats. You ever see Saving Private Ryan?
Oh, yeah.
Private Ryan, the first 20 minutes of that movie were just so accurate, I'm told by, well, the late Stephen Ambrose, the historian, said it was very real. And I remember seeing the movie where you get out of the boat and the bullets are flying right at your face when
you're immediately
coming right at your face. And this woman who was sitting in the theater just got up and walked out right away. Yeah. Right away. Couldn't take it.
Too intense, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they showed the whole thing. I mean, you know, people forget. There are people from Texas who couldn't swim who just had all that gear on, and they got out of they went in the water and sank and drowned.
Whoa!
I mean, all kinds of stuff. I'm looking at these stats: 160,000 troops from United Kingdom, U.S., Canada, landing. 6,600 Americans killed. United Kingdom, 2,700. Canada, 1,074. But it's amazing in that you see the graves. You know, I salute the dead, those who survived the whole memory of that. 73 years ago today, also 49 years ago today, Robert Kennedy was killed. We'll have a little throwback on that a little later here on the night of the California primary, which he did win. The California primary that night against his rival, Eugene McCarthy. Hubert Humphrey didn't enter any primaries in 1968. Back in those days, you could win the nomination without entering any primaries. You know, the primary thing was kind of new. When JFK did it, he kind of made his mark, made it work for him, you know, and he kind of worked the bosses. But Humphrey had that kind of locked up. But Bobby Kennedy might have taken it away from him. We'll never know. That happened. We'll hear from him. Paul Soglin, this is really an amazing thing. Paul Soglin, we just heard Scott Walker on the news break saying he's a throwback to the 60s. Paul Soglin could run for governor. You know, I heard that a while back, but, you know, I had to keep it quiet based on who told me. But I'll tell you right now, I mean, Paul Soglin, 72, and he was an anti-war activist back in the 60s, student at UW going way back, undergrad, I think, pretty early in the 60s, actually. Paul was here a long time. He ran for the city council in the early 70s. He was kind of a long hair in those days. Then he ran for mayor in 1973, and the old mayor at the time was Bill Dyke, who had, like, the Bing Crosby hat and the tweed jacket with the little heel pad Shoulders on the skin. Elbow. And he said, I just hope there are enough decent people left in Madison to vote for me, you know. And there weren't. So Soglin won. And he's mayor now. He elected mayor in like 73. And he's mayor now. I mean, how about that? I mean, I've lost track of 40, what is that? 73 to 2013 would be 40 years, right? So Paul Soglin was mayor, you know, 44 years ago. Think about that. 44 years ago. Now he's mayor again. He's been mayor a lot. But I did say on 2 Minutes with Mitch this morning at Madison.com, and I've covered Paul for years, and I've enjoyed Paul, and covered his race for Congress in 96 against Scott Klug, where he lost big. Of course, the district was friendlier to Republicans, but still competitive. Was, you know, Bob Kastenmeyer had been here forever, so you thought Soglin might have a chance, but Klug killed him. And I just said to Paul, because he's in New York now on mayor business, apparently, but I said, you got to smile. I mean, I've covered Paul for a long time, and I've really never seen him smile. I really haven't. You know, it's kind of a half smile. If somebody says something, he just kind of gives that little twinkle. But I've never really seen a smile out of Paul. If you're going to run for governor, run for anything, except for the Madison mayor job, you got to smile. I mean, you compare that with Ronald Reagan when he ran. They were comparing to Barry Goldwater because he's really conservative, and they called him a bomb thrower, and he was kind of he was considered a cowboy, and all that stuff about Reagan. But Reagan could smile. He smiled, and he took a little edge off, yeah. And well, there you go again. And the Jimmy Carter's people were saying the Klan endorsed Reagan, and he was anti-gay and anti-black and anti-this, and he would go to Reagan for a comment. Well, I'm just sad. That just makes me sad. You know, that kind of thing. He was like Grandpa Walton. I mean, but he could smile, took the edge off. And but Paul, Paul can get mad. I've seen Paul angry. He snapped at me. Boy, he snapped at me once. I had him on the radio once, and I was talking about the operating deficit of the Monona Terrace. In other words, how much money they bring in every year, the Monona Terrace, through conventions and meetings and all this, and sales of merchandise versus how much money they spend. And there's always been a deficit of like $3 to $4 million, if not $5 million. And they cover it with the room tax, so they, you know, they cover that hole with the room tax. But it's not like they make as much off it as they spend. And you could say, well, that was never intended. Well, I think in the early days of it, people said, well, there might be a deficit of $500,000 or, you know, whatever it was. But, so I rattle that stuff off. I said, man, Soglin, just, you're wrong. Because Soglin's point is, who cares? It generates all this money for the city and business and restaurants and whatever. But, you know, we can debate that. I mean, can't use the room tax for something else. Got to cover that hole, right? But it's pretty. Looks like a postcard. When's the last time you went to the Monona Terrace? When's the last time you did? Have you been down there with your spouse lately to check out the lake? I mean, you.
When I first moved here. First
well, started. Right. Yeah, I mean, it's like you go to a bar one time. You know, it's a bar. What's that bar in Fitchburg over on PD? And it used to be Fitch's. Remember that? It was a nice bar. It was called Fitch's, and it was expensive, and people checked it out, but then it just went out of business. People
died, huh?
Because if you're away from the Beltline too far and you're in a suburb like that, you have families around there, families and houses and neighbors. They don't go out during the week.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
They might go out Friday night for fish fry or whatever the case, but they just don't go out. They're not barflies. You take a place like Babe's over on Schrader Road to the Beltline. That's a great location, right at the Beltline.
Yeah.
And they have the little tables around the bar where you can kind of hide. And Lynn Haker, my good friend, he just knows how to do that. And you have a lot of barflies in there. You go to happy hour, even after happy hour, there's always going to be barflies in that bar. And you have back roads to get home. But Fitchburg, no. Oh, no. It's sort of like the old Tallards out on Airport Road. Again, just dead during the week, man. And so people, and of course, my good friend, Jim Lutke tried Jimmy's American Tavern, which was a really cool place for a while. And when it first opened, man, it was gangbusters. But eventually just died. It's in a suburb. It's hard to make a bar work. And how this related to Paul Soglin, I don't know. What was I talking? Anyway, the point of it is, Monona Terrace, right. I mean, how often do we use it? You know, it's there like 70 conventions a year, and they say, well, if we had more hotel space, it'd be gangbusters. I don't think it's going to happen. We're not a big enough city. Plus, who's going to come to Madison for a convention from Tampa in November? You know, I mean, you had a group in Corpus Christi, Texas, or a group in Palm Beach, Florida, or, you know, Santa Monica, California. Who's going to come to Madison between November and April? Nobody.
Yeah.
And you might come and stay, you know, with your uncle in Sun Prairie if you're from upstate. You know, you might come and stay with your uncle or something before you spend money on a hotel. All I'm saying is that's there. Paul Soglin right now does not get along with the city council. There are people that are to his left. Paul's kind of turned into curmudgeon of late, coming after the homeless and trying to regulate that. Anyways, he's voted down. Finally, they agreed on getting rid of the people with the signs and the medians. Remember the we'll work for food or, you know, homeless, we'll work for that kind of stuff. They've taken those people out of the medians in Madison, finally, about the third or fourth vote. But you see them now in Fitchburg and Sun Prairie. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if Monona, but Paul was kind of a crackdown on that stuff. He's to the right of his city council. He's been voted down 19-1 and so forth. And he says he's modeling his possible campaign after Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders, you know, won the primary. But again, you know, well, that model, you do well in the Isthmus, you do well in Madison. But the rest of the state, I mean, how's Paul going to play in Stevens Point? How's Paul going to play in Green Bay, Appleton? That's the challenge. If he got crushed by Scott Klug in the race for Congress, I wonder how he's going to do. I'm not saying he shouldn't run. I'm just saying, Paul, you got to learn to smile. And we've got all kinds of stuff coming up here. We'll have the latest on the Trump factor. We've got some looking back to Robert Kennedy, who died 49 years old today, 49 years ago today. Ed Yeager coming in from Cannery Financial Services. He's a smart guy about a bear market, a bull market, how to survive in a bear market, how to handle your money if you're low income, medium income, upper income, all that stuff coming up. We look forward to that. He's a smart dude. And I tell people who are young all the time, I say, well, how much money do you save? Do you save any money? Because I didn't when I was young. I mean, I spent $500-$600 a month on drinks and women and golf and, you know, just food. You know, I could have saved $50, $100 bucks a month, no problem. You know, because if you do that for 30 years, you've got some money, right?
Big time. That's a lot.
Well, it's $100 bucks a month. You're going to have $1,200 bucks in a year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but the point of it is, I spent it all on drinks and women and food and golf and movies. And so I'm just saying, don't do that, right? And if you can't handle money, just don't have it in your hand. Have somebody, have the work, put it in the bank for you. That's talk to human resources. And we'll talk to Ed coming up on that. And he's a smart dude. So stay tuned. All of it ahead on the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com. XAM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
The
all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rayl.
Tim had a plan whether we should look at a new house, an older style house, and right away he knew what we were looking for and what would be in our best interest.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rayl of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
He was jolly, good-natured, and so thoughtful, and he's charismatic as well.
Tim Rayl, 698-7653.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is a thing that you want to think of. It should be at least the third thing that pops into your mind. MadisonComedy.com is where you can go to find a complete schedule. Any comics that you could think of, we've had.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, we're back. We're going to talk to Ed Yeager from Canary Wealth Strategies. I said canary. Apathetic. If I don't have it in my eyes, I'll screw that up. But Canary
close.
Wealth Strategies. What?
Pretty close.
Oh, yeah, right. There's the Canary Grill. It used to be in Sun Prairie. Now it's I think they sold it to Nitty Gritty. Anyway, so a couple updates here. Do we have the RFK stuff? Okay. Robert Kennedy, who really kind of was one of my hero in college, read a lot of books on Robert Kennedy. And he was killed. He was shot 49 years ago yesterday, died 49 years ago today. He had just won the California primary, Democratic primary, barely over Eugene McCarthy, the junior senator from, actually, maybe he was the senior senator then, because Humphrey was VP, from Minnesota. And here he is at the podium in the Ambassador Hotel in L.A. just minutes before he's killed.
What I think is quite clear is that we can work together in the last analysis, and that what has been going on within the United States over the period of the last 3 years, the divisions, the violence, the disenchantment with our society, the divisions, whether it's between blacks and whites, between the poor and the more affluent, or between age groups, or on the war in Vietnam, that we can start to work together. We are a great country and a selfish country and a compassionate country, and I intend to make that my basis for running and over the period of that.
That was Robert Kennedy died. I go deep on that assassination, but I'm not getting into the whole conspiracy thing now. But shot supposedly by Sirhan Sirhan, who was in front of him, and the only bullet to kill him was behind him. But we can discuss the conspiracy on that later. Anyway, he was Albert Lowenstein. He was a 60s activist who started the Dump Johnson movement. The fall of 67 to dump LBJ, the president, over the war in Vietnam. Later said that Bobby Kennedy's death is the only death that continues to get worse. I think it affected a lot of people of that generation who were young, who had a lot of dreams and idealistic thoughts. I think it hits them and still hits them. And, of course, he died so young, so we always have the memory of him as he was at 42. And even at age 7, I think I was actually up. You know, wake up, get a glass of water. I remember Cronkite. Our hearts and prayers are with the Kennedy family, because he had, you know, was on for the late news live.
Yeah.
Sad stuff, and it's worth remembering, because next year is the 50th. Time flies, doesn't it? I still remember being in my mother's friend's house, and she was crying watching the whole thing. My mother was more into JFK, but her friend was big into RFK. And I remember that vividly, the whole thing. I didn't understand what this, but I do remember this too. You know, you had thoughts in your mind you remember from childhood. I was playing in the backyard. I remember this. I remember it. Playing in the backyard, and my dad comes in the backyard and says to my mom, "Do you want to go see Bobby Kennedy at Purdue Airport?" And she goes, "I don't think so." And I remember that.
Huh.
He came to the, I was in Lafayette, Indiana, and the Purdue Airport was. Of course, later in life, when I read books about him, I read a reference to his speech at the Purdue Airport. I go, "Why didn't you take me?" Don't beat me up. I mean, how come you didn't? I had friends who were there. You know, little kids were there on their parents' shoulders. And also, on the Trump front, we've got a lot has happened. We had the horrible attack in London, Trump tweeting. You know, Trump yesterday had a huge thing about redoing the air traffic controlling system and getting modernized equipment and all this. He got no coverage because they're all covering his tweets. So then Kellyanne Conway was on there going, well, why do you care about his tweets when all this other stuff he's doing? You know, cutting regulations and the economy, doing this. And they go, well, because he's tweeting, because he's mentioning things. And he got in a little war with the mayor of London about saying don't worry about things when he's talking about don't worry about the police presence. And they all go, I was saying it out of context. So in other words, Trump can't get coverage on what he's doing in terms of policy initiatives because the media only feed off the tweets. And Kellyanne Conway's own husband, who's a lawyer, said, well, it's going to hurt his case before the Supreme Court on the travel ban, because he's calling it a travel ban in his tweets. And they kept saying for months it wasn't a travel ban. So all that's going on. But on the question of Trump and James Comey's testimony come on Thursday, former FBI director who Trump fired, interesting back and forth on CNN between Don Lemon, who hates Trump, of course, and Michael Regan, Ronald Reagan's oldest son. And Ronald Reagan's oldest son made the point, where's the crime? And he kind of echoed the sentiment of Alan Dershowitz, who's a Harvard Law phenom, icon, who helped in the O.J. Simpson defense, who was Hillary Clinton's supporter and voted for her. But he said, unless they can prove the Trump people helped the Russians do the hack, there's no crime. That's what Dershowitz said. So the thought there is, if they're collaborating and gossiping and sharing dirt with the Russians over Hillary, according to Dershowitz and Michael Regan, that's just politics. And they go, well, isn't that treason? Well, treason against whom? Hillary's not in office. Hillary's a candidate.
Yeah.
So here was the exchange between Michael Regan and Don Lemon of CNN.
Collusion is not breaking the law. Just like Kennedy, he didn't break the law. It was a political move that he made. Just like Jimmy Carter, it was political. It wasn't breaking
the law. Collusion is not breaking the law?
Not in this case. No, it's not collusion. Collusion is not breaking the law. What law did they break?
You mean if the Trump folks colluded with the Russians, that's not breaking the law to influence the election?
What law?
Isn't that treasonous to do that?
What law? No. What law?
Okay,
the Democrats have colluded with the Russians before.
It seems like that's the whole reason for this investigation by the intelligence community, from the FBI, from the CIA, and
finding out if it did occur.
And if it did occur, then that's breaking of the law. No.
What law?
You have to ask a lawyer.
Nobody can name the law. Nobody can name the law. Just like the Democrats colluding back in the 70s and 80s didn't break the law.
People go to jail all the time, though, Michael, for collusion, even beyond the government and just everyday business. And
collusion.
When it comes to the mafia, people go to jail all the time for that.
Name the law.
Okay, so then why would
the law that they broke?
Fine, I know you're going to point about the law, but why would the FBI be investigating if it's not against the law?
Because this has become so politicized through the whole process. And you know as well as I do,
if they found nothing happened.
What? This has been politicized on every side of the equation.
So he's asking, what's the law? And Don Lemon said, what about the mafia? Well, the mafia, they find out there's criminality because somebody's undercover. Or they're colluding with business and breaking the law. They're breaking the law. There's a law there. On the business thing, collusion, like the baseball owners can't collude to avoid, back in the baseball years during the whole labor strife, certain free agents, after they had free agency, the owners got together and didn't bid on the free agents to keep the salaries down.
Right.
And they proved there was collusion. You can't do that. There are laws against that. Businesses, corporate, they can't collude on things. There are laws. What's the law against a campaign colluding with Russian diplomats on dirt? Where's the law there? Are they giving away state secrets? unless they did the hack. I mean, if they're sharing information, somebody tell me what the law is. I don't know what the law is there. I remember this started off as a counter-espionage investigation. Now we have Robert Mueller doing a criminal investigation. Now, to me, if they're actually giving away favors in return for money, and there's a quid pro quo, you could talk about, corruption and things like that. But I'm not a lawyer either, but no one's explaining what the law is unless they knew and collaborated on the hack. Assuming you believe it was done by the Russians, which 17 intelligence U.S. agencies believe that. Of course, one of them would be the Coast Guard. The password was password from, John Podesta's emails. We're not going to talk about this with our next guest, though. He is a money guy, Canary Wealth Strategies, Ed Yeager. We'll talk about how this economy is working. You see headlines about near record highs in the stock market. What does that mean to us here on the ground? There's always that Wall Street thing and the Main Street thing, the economy. And if you are investing, how much money do you need before you start investing in the stock market? I talked about the money I blew when I was young. What could I have done with that? All these questions coming up. And if you're a high portfolio client, we'll get into your stuff too, but more people than that are not. We'll deal with money management at the lower end as well. Again, that's Edward Yeager from Canary Wealth Strategies coming up on The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com. Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Hague.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Hague. Eric, is it true you've never taken a check from a client in 20 years?
We only get paid if we win, and 20 years of practicing law, I've never had a client to have to pay me for their time.
You don't take every case, quality over quantity?
Some of the bigger firms that do a lot of advertising are trying to take in as many cases as they can, as fast as they can. We actually reject more cases than we accept. We're trying to take a case where we can give it the time it deserves to be properly managed and litigated to get it ready for trial. Once you get beyond that number, the quality can suffer. So we're looking to provide high-quality legal service, and it's not about the numbers. We want to do those cases that we do have right.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Hague and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, he's a smart guy when it comes to money. Now, they have to be a guy. They're smart women as well. But Canary Wealth Strategies, Ed Yeager joins me. Hello, Ed. How's it going?
Hey, Mitch. It's good. Thanks for having me.
Well, you managed to get younger every 5 years. I saw you 5 years ago, and you're younger now.
I'm trying.
You're eating the right foods. And you got an event coming up here. You're talking about navigating the financial market cycle with Canary Wealth Strategies, but tell me about the event coming up, June 13th.
Well, we're having a limited audience at the Kohl Center on the 13th. We're doing a lunch and a happy hour on the 13th, and we're just going to chat about challenging market conditions. And, you know, we could be in the top of a bull right now, maybe not. It sure feels like it, but what do you do when that happens? Do you keep buying? Do you sell? What do you do?
Well, let's before we get to the point of having a portfolio and buying and selling, let's go back to what I mentioned earlier and the fact that you're just starting out or you're younger or you just, you know, you're working, don't have a lot of money. And, you know, the whole concept of planning that or handling it better, I mean, that's the beginning, isn't it, for most people?
Yeah, time's your biggest strength. You gotta get a little uncomfortable with the budget and I think you said this earlier, just get it out of the bank account and put it into some investment monthly, automatically. 401ks are a great way to do that. But time is your best friend in investing. It's more important than what you invest in, actually.
So if you're young and you can't handle money, like I was 22 and obviously blew it all, I should have just had them take out whatever, you know.
Yes.
So I didn't have it in my hand.
That's right. You don't want to touch it.
And there's like Larry King, the famous, he was bankrupt. And he said he got an allowance after that because he couldn't handle it. He'd go to the track, and they gave him an allowance.
There you go.
You know, some people can't handle money. Is that fair to say?
Lots of people can't handle money.
I mean, there are people with big houses and big cars, and they have nothing in the bank, right? I mean,
that's right. That's right. I think there was a study or an article on something a few months ago where most Americans couldn't write a check for $500 that they needed to today.
Oh, it's got to be 95% plus.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's absolutely
Well, they
brutal.
Say 6 months of reserves of, nobody has that. I mean, what percentage of people, you know, they listen to these people on the radio about red beans and rice and buy ramen noodles, but, you know.
We're not in the 50s anymore. There's no savings.
No, that's right. Now, so then, once you understand that reality, put away whatever you can, you know, for a rainy day, for 6 months, for retirement, for whatever you got, because you'll need the money at some point. Something bad will happen, you'll need that money. Is that fair to say? I mean, we all will, right?
Right.
Then the question is, at what point do you start entering into investments, the stock market, all that stuff?
Well, you can start investing right away. You can get an account through Ameritrade or anything online and start investing in small cap stocks. They're cheap to buy. You can buy exchange traded funds, mutual funds. It's a great way to get in.
What percentage of people do that?
That's a good question. I think most people who do it through their employer sponsored 401k.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean,
but outside of that, probably not a lot.
Not very many, I wouldn't think. But yet, if you're making some money, you don't have kids yet, and you're not blowing it all the bars, and you know, you're sort of smart. I think kids are smarter today. I really get that sense. I mean, than they were back in the day. Is that true, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people see that they need to save money, and sometimes they just need a little push. That's why those 401ks can be a blessing.
Yeah. So, how much income can a person have where they can rationally be smart about that kind of thing? You know, is there a certain cutoff? Or
no, there's no cutoff. Anybody can save. Well, my 11-year-old son's saving from mowing lawns right now. It's a great way to start.
Very smart.
But yeah, just try to get something away, and everybody looks at it, and they just have to base it on their budget and try to get out of your comfort zone, and you'll be happy for it. No one's ever gotten mad at me to tell them to save more.
Wouldn't most people, when they do that and they save a little bit and they have some money saved and they want to enter into investments, contact somebody like you or contact a professional?
I mean, yeah, you can reach out to me, or the web is a great resource as well. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish. A lot of times there's not a lot of personal touch on the internet, so getting somebody who can talk with you and your goals, that's probably a little better.
And I'm not sure I get paid if you are paid on performance or you get a fee. I mean, what the standard?
We traditionally get a fee on the assets. We can't get paid on performance at this point, but that's something that's being worked on in the compliance world, which
that's
I stay
right.
away from.
Is it true that, you know, financial investment, it's like gambling? I mean, you're mad when you lose. If you win, you should have bet more money, and if you lose, you should have bet the other way. So
right.
they're never
right.
happy, right?
Right. Gambling's a good analogy for that. Absolutely. Sometimes you got to walk away.
Why didn't I make more money, or how did I lose money?
Right. Right. You stayed invested too long. You didn't know when to get out.
And then you have to calmly explain to them.
Yeah. Sometimes it's okay to walk away with some chips.
Got no one to hold them, no one to fold them.
Right.
Now, I hear these things in the news. We're at record highs on the stock market.
Right.
You know, Trump is saying the value is going to be $3 trillion. What does that mean to the... I don't know what that means. I mean, is that inflationary or is that real stuff?
It's all headline news. It's tough to read into that for the average investor. I would say the market's cyclical, and we're 2 years beyond the normal cycle. So it's time to, if you're sitting at that blackjack table and you've been up for the last 6 hours or 8 hours, maybe it's time to walk away. Take
away
a little bit off the table.
With something, right?
Right, right. You've got the average cycle coming 6.5 years, and then we're 8 years into this, and the average decline in the stock market's 40% when it hits. So this is just average. There's nothing special about that number.
Well, even the meltdown of 08, I knew a friend of mine that was going nuts when it was in free fall. I was losing tens of thousands of dollars, but is it true by March or April things had stabilized? And
it took some time. I know that in 08 we lost 24% in 14 days. That's a lot of money quickly.
But then it didn't take long before it kind of leveled off, right? According
to
the people I talked to.
It took some time. There was a while where it was considered, the 2000s were considered the lost decade. Because it did take time. Not until the last 5 years is it really rally back.
And then in the last 5 to 10 years, I mean, the Wall Street did fine, the stock market did, but the economy itself, you know, wasn't as good.
No, there was a lot of printed money over the last
so,
decade.
Yeah, I mean, if you were, you know, one of the investors, I mean, in your business, you must have been doing okay. You know.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was starting to feel good, but they've called this bull market the least popular bull market of all time. Everybody's kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop.
For the crash?
Right.
Which is not a pleasant thought, but...
No.
But if it does happen, and people have 401ks, because I talked to people that lost 25% during those days, you know.
Right.
But did it all come back eventually, or...
It has come back, and, you know, everybody's scared of a bear market, but the reality is if... once the market goes down 40%, on average it rallies in the next 3 to 5 years about 150%.
Really?
Yeah. So you can make substantial money, and the bear market's actually an opportunity. And if you're able to play it a little bit, you can really benefit from it.
So get killed and smile, because it means you're going to make a lot of money in the short term.
No, don't get killed.
Oh, no, sorry.
Don't get killed. Avoid,
don't listen to me.
Yeah, avoid getting killed. And then buy when the market's down. It's pretty easy. Buy low, sell high.
Avoid getting killed by getting out.
Well, just play a little defense.
Or just holding on, or, I mean...
Yeah, play maybe, like I said earlier, take a few chips off the table. Recognize that maybe a market cycle might be coming to an end, and you won't get hurt.
You mentioned early on about we have no savings, and because I want to continue this important stuff. And, you know, grandma and grandpa, you know, they saved, they bought a house, or mom and dad. And we have a lot of millennials in apartments and right. buying pizzas on Friday. Pizza on Friday night, if you get breadsticks, and you're going to spend $35-$40. And they've worked, but there goes the house payment.
Right.
That
right.
was a lot of money.
Right.
Come back with Ed Yeager from Canary Wealth Strategies. Your calls, too. 210-1667, 210-1667. We're trying to solve the money problems, and I'm sure you have none. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
As life celebrations bring people together, you'll be comforted knowing we have community rooms available for those who wish to serve food and refreshments before, during, or after your gathering. This is Pete Gunderson. We're here to assist with every detail. Learn more at GundersonFH.com. Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson
Great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak at 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com. BucksPizzaMadison.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bobabella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bobabella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
Good research will make you wiser and more successful. If you operate a business, create a product, or provide a service, what don't you know that your customers know? There are multiple answers to that question that will help you realize greater success. Troy Research is a consumer opinion market research company that finds answers to important questions. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884, or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Money makes the world go round, the world go round. I'm off to the wrong song coming in the bump. But we're talking about money. I've had people tell me, well, I don't have money to save. Well, everybody has money to save. I mean, you could save $10, right? Or $20.
You can.
I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, just... Yeah, we don't have cable. I'm not going to sound like Dave Ramsey, you know. You eat red beans and rice for 20 a month, you gain 20 pounds. It's
right.
All that starch. And that is that unrealistic, just tell people to go through life and have macaroni for, and that's what his whole plan is.
Yeah, that might be a little tough.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much what it is. You know, they sit down and you go, eat macaroni for six. Well, you know, we have stories. Ben Hogan, the golfer, I guess he ate oranges for like a month or a day.
Maybe I should start eating oranges.
Eat a lot of oranges, man. But so here we are, and when people lose money in the stock market, they freak out and stuff. But you're saying during the break, there's a way to avoid the catastrophic events?
Just, you know, as we get towards the end of a traditional market cycle, again, they last about 6 years, you just play a little more defense where you have the ability to maneuver into bonds or cash. And if it does happen, you'll be safe from it. And I mean, here's a good analogy. You're at a college party. You've been to a party, right?
One or two.
One. You're having a drink at a party, and you've got a whole group of people. It's 3:30 in the morning, and they're drinking and dancing. They're having a great time. They're not paying attention to the clock. This isn't your first party. You know the cops are going to show up at some point. All I'm telling you is to go kind of walk towards the door. You don't even have to set your beer down. Don't even stop dancing. Just walk near the door, just in case.
Cover your backside.
Right. That's it. You don't have to leave.
Just in case. My son would say that about some girlfriends back in the day. Just in case. We don't want to get into that, translating all those meanings. But so you said cash or bonds.
Right.
A certain percentage in something safe like that.
Yeah, you have the availability to maneuver to that at any given moment if necessary.
And then some, you do the more aggressive stuff.
Yeah, you know? And then, well, some do the more of the aggressive stuff, or?
Well, no, you should, split it up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, 10% of the aggressive stuff, or?
Well, it all 20%. Depends on where you're at in life. It's kind of a tough call.
No, I understand that. But the point of it is have some safely tucked away and something safe.
Right.
In case something's bad. It's like you go to the casino. You've got $100 or $200. I'm going to lose $200 or $100, whatever you budget to lose. Once you lose it, you're done.
Right.
You're not going to go to the ATM. I mean, that's what happens at casinos. People go to the ATM and they sell their watch, and that's.
Or if you're going to keep playing, play with house money.
Right. If you're ahead, keep playing.
Of course, you're going to be ahead.
Well, I have strategy, but that is a good analogy, because blackjack, if you're aggressive, you'll do stupid things and you'll double down on the wrong cards and that kind of thing.
Right.
If you're smart, you'll get out, on 15 or 14, whatever it is,
Right.
You still could lose, but, you're buying time.
Exactly. Time is the key.
If you could talk to people and say, well, first of all, if you don't do those fundamental things in the first place, you're never going to be able to play with the big boys or big girl. I mean, and you just don't want to deal with high portfolio clients. You want to be able to spread the wealth, right? And invite everybody into it.
Right. I think the most important thing I could tell people is just create a habit. Create the habit. It doesn't even have to be a lot. Just create the habit. Try to get it saved. And, you keep that going, it'll end up building up.
$100 a month, $1,200 in a year.
Right.
I mean, that's a pretty good chunk of change for a young person. And who can't save that? I mean, a lot of young people getting out of college with no kids and no spouse, with a job, they could save that. They could do that, right?
Sure, sure. It's easy to not to, though. It's easy to buy a Starbucks.
Well, believe me. $200 a month, $2,400. My good buddy from home, I think he saved $1,000 a month, because he got a job at IBM back in the early 80s or after college. No kids. He saved $1,000 a month. In 3 years, he had $36,000. And I'm thinking, wow. But, he's getting good money, but he didn't make that much. But he probably didn't go out much or, buy a lot of vodka. He wasn't chasing, a lot of dates. But the point of it is, later, now he's got this giant house and he owns a company.
Right. One of my most successful business clients always tells me the story, and he's a great advocate for me when I come in on his 401k. He said, I started saving $25 a month, and today I believe it's worth, this is probably 35 years ago, I think it's worth close to $70,000. And we use that story all the time. Local guy here, you guys would all know him. I'm not going to tell you who he is.
$25 a month.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Well, as opposed to saying, I got $25, I guess I can buy, five more drinks. I mean, that's the way you think.
Right. It's not enough.
It's like the guy at the table. Let me lose this last $2 and I'll be right up. That's kind of what it is. And I'm sure you have friends like that, right?
Yeah, I have a few of those.
Do you ever tell them, when are you going to listen to me? Or?
Not unless they're buying me a drink.
Go ahead and spend that. So anyway, you've got room at this event coming up.
We do. It's getting tight, though.
June 13th, you've got a little suite at the Kohl Center?
We do. We've got a suite at the Kohl Center. We'll be doing a lunch, 11:30 lunch, and I believe a 4:30 happy hour. And we're just going to do a quick presentation on how to navigate this stuff.
Are you a guy who believes in no debt, like the guy on the radio, Dave Ramsey, says no debt, have no debt. Can't buy a car, don't buy a car unless you have cash, and don't go to college unless you, all this kind of stuff. And other people, I mean, it was Donald Trump. He owed like $9 billion to the banks in 1990, and he got out of it. He had so much debt, the banks couldn't afford to have him go bust because it was too much money.
Right.
So that's using debt to your advantage, right?
Right. I think some debt's very good. I mean, credit card debt obviously is the worst. I would never, if you can escape that, that's a big win.
So
that'll,
what,
that'll crush you.
So debt like a mortgage?
Oh, it's tax-deductible interest. That's a good thing.
Car?
Student loans.
Well, student loans you can't get out of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough, especially when you're buying drinks at the pace.
But I mean, but you say it's not bad to have student loan debt? Or?
Well, you don't want to have it, but it's at least there's a deduction for the interest on it.
Oh.
There's a break, yeah. So, I mean, credit cards, you're paying 20%. It's not deductible. It'll crush you.
Credit cards. Somebody taught me if you had a $6,000 limit and you make the, and you're at your max and you make the minimum monthly payment, it takes 30 years to pay
that.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Those guys do the math. They want to
By the way, in this mortgage thing, I was also in that business for a while, and the Banker's Secret used to tell us the first 10 years, 90% of your money goes to interest.
Right.
For the first 10 years. And the average person lives in a house for 7 years.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, if you're going to live in the house for 30 years, good deal, right? But you've bought houses in your life,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And you see that sheet when you do the closing, how much money you're going to pay in 30 years? Versus, I mean, it's massive.
Yeah, it's giant. People don't see that, though. They just want to get into the house
they
and
don't,
forget it.
But, I mean, what would you say about that? I mean, don't, you know.
Well, it depends. I mean, money's cheap right now, right? I mean, mortgages are pretty reasonable. So there's an argument there as to whether to pay your house off or find other investments to capitalize on.
Well, and who has the discipline? I mean, of course, that horrible period where people were using their house to get loans and their house was like an ATM machine.
Right. That's a problem.
Yeah. So really, if you just build the equity, you know, just leave it alone, right?
I mean, yeah. Yeah. If you can, that'd be the best.
You sell it and you got a return.
That's right.
Otherwise, don't touch it. Is that your best advice?
Yeah.
I don't mean to answer. I don't know the answers, but Ed does. Ed Yeager from Canary Wealth Strategies, June 13th. You've got lunch, a happy hour. You got room for both. Give me the website or they want to contact you.
Canarywealth.com.
Canarywealth.com and be smart. You know, it's never too late, right? I mean,
yeah. Come by and visit us. Check us out on the website. If you have any questions, my email's there. Give me a call.
I'm just telling you, folks, if I give advice to young people, it's that. Don't blow it all on drinks. I always had one more drink to buy when I was 22. At least put something in the bank or just have them take it out of your check. I'm sorry, because at 55, you're going to need that money. Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Mitch.
I hope to someday be thin like you. Have a fat wallet as well. We'll come back. Nick Jarkus, who's a great guest, who wrote the book Weepers about murder in New York in the 50s. He was a New York cop. He worked at Woodstock. The guy is amazing. He is here with another author, about a book similar to The Da Vinci Code. We'll come back and talk about that on The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary.
You're listening to The Mitch Hanks Show. Once again, here's the voice of uncommon sense, Mitch Hanks.
Okay, I'm so excited about the next hour. One of my favorite people, and I'm sure my second favorite person, because you're a friend of Nick, who's one of my favorite people, coming in here. Nick Chiarkas, who wrote Weepers about murder in New York in the 50s, and cops and youth gangs in the city and the neighborhood, all this stuff. It's great stuff. And Margaret Meg Goss, we'll talk about the name during the break, when I should refer you, author of The Uncommitted, which is a Catholic romance supernatural thriller. There's a mouthful right there. Huh? Similar to The Da Vinci Code, but better, says Nick. I like that. How about that for a press release?
Huh? I know. Nick wrote that introduction. I don't know. That's a lot to live up to, Nick. Thanks.
It is. I read it.
Set the bar high, but why not? I mean, you're talking about a lot of deep stuff there, the Catholic Church and the whole nine yards. You've got all this stuff going on with intrigue on that. Of course, Nick, we've talked to you in the past about your book, which has done so well, and you've received awards for it. It's fantastic. And heard from people from the old neighborhood, right?
Right. Right. What? Thanks to your show.
Oh, well, MadisonTalks.com. Right now, we are live worldwide on the web, so if you're listening in Africa or Australia, you know, we don't have a lot of fans in Africa, perhaps, but you can listen there.
Yeah, I can share it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Share it on Twitter, whatever you want to do, yeah. We'll come back and talk about that, and, you know, the books are a reflection of culture and history and so many things, and we can even mesh into some current events maybe at some point.
Absolutely.
Which Nick always likes to do. Maybe Meg, Margaret, what do you prefer? Margaret,
well, Margaret's my author name, so maybe Meg's my nickname, but in case people go out and look for the book,
Margaret,
let's go with Margaret.
We'll stay with Margaret.
Okay.
This on D-Day and so many things, RFK, all that. The Mitch Hanks Show, MadisonTalks.com.